Just hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. Jesus is alive, so hold tight. Hold on to the promises.
Good morning, everyone. 9 minutes after the hour, I probably get stopped on the street 400 times a day by people saying, Bill, how do you make it look so easy? And the answer is, of course, I just get really outstanding guests on the show, and they make me look good. So there you go. That's it. That's our guest this morning, Lisa Marone. And Lisa, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about medical records and how important it is because, you know, it's easy to get confused. Like last year, I stepped on a tetanus shot. I didn't know what to do, so I went out and scratched myself with a rusty nail. I figured that would sort of counterbalance everything.
Absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great Monday morning to you.
And you're back from a busy weekend. I understand you were in Des Moines, Iowa.
I was. It was my first time in Iowa. I just absolutely love the people. Not so much the weather. I left Long Island. It was 50 degrees. I landed in Iowa. It was zero. But, mm-hmm. You know, hey, you roll with that.
Yeah. Who's complaining, right?
We had a wonderful time at the Inspire 2016 health conference. It was a church-based health conference in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to speak on why we should be well from a biblical perspective and had a seminar on sleep, why sleep is so important to our longevity, and one on reining in your blood sugar levels and preventing insulin resistance.
Wow.
So it was a fabulous weekend.
That sounds action-packed.
It was. I was definitely tired when it was all over, but it was a good tired.
I bet. Now, what about how important it is that we have access to our medical charts and records and we keep stuff at our fingertips? How important is that?
You know, Bill, I have been compiling patient charts for 26 years, and I have an organized way, and there's something on the left-hand side and the right-hand side of that chart, and I have everything in chronological order so that I know this patient's history. I have access to their medical records, MRIs, x-rays, different tests that they might have done, and I take copious notes. And I thought one day, you know what? I really should have this for myself, and I should have it for each one of my immediate family members. This kind of go-to chart that has a list of our doctors, the doctor appointments that I need to make, because, you know, you scratch your head and wonder, when was the last time I went for my physical? And you usually can't even remember because it's not written down anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of came up with an organized chart system for our own personal health records.
So the system that you developed over time, okay, what's the first step we could take to start down this road to being organized?
The first thing you need is simply just a plain folder. You can use a loose leaf like a ring binder or a notebook, but I think a plain folder works the best. And I ask my, now that I'm talking to my patients and my readers, I tell people, get yourself two large index cards and tape them into the front left-hand side of that chart. So it's the first thing you see when you open it. And the first index card should have your doctor's profession. So it might say a general practitioner, your dentist, your cardiologist, your dermatologist, and then their name after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has their phone number, so you have easy access. You don't have to go hunt that down.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all written in pen. And then in pencil, next to each practitioner, what I have my patients do and what I do is insert the date that I last saw them. This is how I can keep track of when I'm supposed to schedule my next annual exam for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great way to start is to have all of your doctor's names, their professions, their telephone numbers, and then when you last saw them in pencil.
Mm-hmm. So have this to be a separate folder that lives apart from all the other business stuff, maybe that is kind of quick, ready access that's got documents as to when you saw the people last and when you have to make the next appointment, because it is interesting when a doctor will say, well, I want you to come back in 16 months or something like that, or, you know,
right. Who
you're
keeps track of that? That's nobody. Very difficult to keep track of.
Nobody.
So the reason that I write it in pencil is that when I have seen the doctor, I erase what my last appointment was, and I put in the one that I've just scheduled or the one that I've just had.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I can keep tracking. The other index card, Bill, has all of our medications on them. I would love for everybody's second index card to be completely blank, but that's not necessarily the way it goes. And so it's important to have the medication that your doctor has given you,
mm-hmm.
and even the date that you began it. And then if you've had any adverse effects to any kind of medication, as I have, you want those names listed down because those medications have funny names like clindamycin and erythromycin, you know, some big old names. And when you're in another doctor's office and they're prescribing something to you, you oftentimes forget, what was that thing that I took that gave me hives?
Right.
So it's really important that you have that listed in. So that's my front left cover, inside cover of my charts.
Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense, especially when you feel the pressure of having a short time with your doctor in the office, and you have to make sure you're being as thorough as you can be and calling, you know, things by name and giving them the symptoms and the side effects so you can maximize that time with the doctor, huh?
Absolutely, Bill. That is, like, very critical because I tell my patients, listen, the medical environment today, you do not have a doctor who comes in the office usually and sits on a chair and will talk with you for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You have about half that time, and they're scheduled with their next patient. So as efficient as you can be in any medical situation where you've come in with your chart and your doctor says, okay, so have you had an x-ray for your neck, if you're in there for neck pain? And you can say, yes, I have, and it's in your chart. And you can pull that out, and he can take a look at that. Because so many times you come in, you're unprepared, and you say, well, I think I had this test done. I don't know where that test is. And so it's really important, Bill, that all of your tests that you have done are in this chart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't ever have any of that paperwork at home, and you can recall the different tests that you've had done, then by all means, call up those facilities, the radiology department, the blood work that you had done at your primary care physician, and get them to send you copies of those so that you have all of that for your records.
And they'll gladly do that, huh?
Absolutely. I do that all the time. I might walk out and go, oh, shoot, I forgot to get a copy of that, my latest blood work. And I'll call and say, hey, can you mail or fax that to me? And they are very happy to do that.
Awesome. Okay, Lisa Morano, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I have some more questions, so stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. After the hour, thanks for being with us this morning. I'm talking to Lisa Morone. She is get healthy, for heaven's sake. You can find her at Lisa Morone, MORRONE.com. And she has absolutely convinced me that I need to be pay more attention to getting my records organized and have them at my fingertips. Now, that's not going to happen in one day, but I'm going to get started at doing that, you know, because we need to have stuff organized and we need to have stuff at our fingers, at our fingertips. Now, the other day, I was considering LASIK surgery, and I decided to pass. Instead, I just had my car windshield ground to my prescription.
Perfect.
So I'm the only one that likes driving with me right now. Everyone else hates it.
I know. That's great. That's great.
But Lisa, you know, I love the way that you can encourage people to do things like, let's get organized, because it does make a huge difference. And medical records are important. And just over the weekend, you had a chance to present at a conference, and you talked about sleep and sugar consumption in a couple of your breakout sessions. And if you could briefly, we've got about 5 minutes left, I would love to hear some of the highlights of both of those topics, if you would, because I'm so interested in them.
Absolutely. Starting with sleep, we started off the conference with a seminar on Sleep Your Way to Better Health. Because sleep, according to the research that I've done for my Sleep Well Again book, sleep is the greatest predictor of how long you will live. Not your body weight, but if you are underslept, if you're chronically sleep deprived, which by definition means that you get less than 7 hours of sleep on a regular basis. And so there's been large studies where they followed people over decades, and if you sleep less than 7 hours each week, you have a markedly decreased life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that to be one of the most critical points, because when we're sleep deprived, what eats away at our life expectancy is, first of all, Neil, I'm calling you Neil.
That's okay.
Bill, sorry, I spoke to Neil earlier.
Yeah.
Bill, is that when we're sleep deprived, we are hormonally imbalanced, and that creates weight gain for us.
Mm-hmm.
It creates accelerated aging. It increases our risk of heart disease and stroke. of type 2 diabetes because it brings on insulin resistance. We can have elevated blood sugars, elevated blood pressures, all of these things when we're sleep deprived. And so I taught people a lot of the things that are going on within our bodies while we're asleep that God has created to happen in a span of 7 to 8 hours of a good night's sleep, mm-hmm. and all that we were losing when we didn't get that.
Everything you said sounds kind of scary to me, actually.
Yeah, it is. You know, when we lose the ability for our immune system, that's another thing when we're sleep deprived, for our immune system to attack the things that attack us,
mm-hmm.
well, then we put ourselves at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we as believers want to be healthy for heaven's sake, if we want to be used by God for all of the years that he originally intended in his perfect will for us, then we need to be on board and we need to sleep one-third of our days away.
Mm-hmm.
We need that 7 to 8 hours of sleep because that is what is going to give us the full, maximal, perfect plan that God had for our life expectancy so we can serve him strong.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, do naps help at all? Is that money back in the bank, the sleep bank, or do we need to have it continuous?
The research on napping mm-hmm. has been if you have a difficult time sleeping at night, your nap times actually work against that. If you have to sleep because, say, your kids keep you up all night or you're sick, a nap should be less than 30 minutes, or it should be a full sleep cycle of 90 minutes.
Mm.
Not in between, because everyone knows if you've ever woken up sometime between 30 minutes and 90 minutes, you're in a grog that you can't shake for about 3 hours. You know?
Yeah, that's true. So that's why I like to take 2 90-minute naps a day.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen, if we have one more minute on sugars, we were talking about in the seminar, was that all carbohydrates that we eat are producing sugar in our body. And so we need to stay away from white refined carbohydrates, which spike our sugars. So if you eat white rice, white bread, white pasta, white potatoes, it is as if you're eating marshmallows.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing to your body. So if you picture your plate with those things on it, that's like a pile of marshmallows. And any carbohydrate, even the good ones, whole grains and things like that, we even need to scale back the amount in which we eat, because carbohydrate consumption is what creates insulin resistance, the precursor to prediabetes, the precursor to diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the thing that I was bringing across my second seminar.
Mm-hmm. It seems like in our carbohydrate-drenched world that we live in, our poor insulin receptors almost never get a chance to relax because they're always working overtime trying to bring the blood sugar down to a reasonable level.
They are. They become completely desensitized. And what's interesting, when we looked at our diets and we said, you know what, fat is bad for us. And so we pulled all the fat out of our diet. But you know what, a lot of fat is very good for us. And it's very satisfying and it's rich tasting. And so what we did was we ended up filling up our diets with more carbohydrates because we pulled out all the satisfying fat.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say backpedal to that. Add some great fat into your diet, some good fats, and be satisfied with what you eat so you don't have to eat so many carbohydrates. Fats barely bump up your blood sugar when you eat them. Proteins moderately so, but any kind of carbohydrates, that will spike your blood sugar.
Right, and I think we have to be aware that good fats are really essential for weight loss.
They are, and they're essential for good health because mm-hmm. every cell in our body, the membrane, the surrounding walls, have to have fat to keep them healthy, to keep invaders out.
Mm-hmm.
Our neurologic system, fat is used as insulation around every nerve cell. We need good fat.
Yep.
So it's important that we don't just throw all fats out of our diet.
Yeah. Lisa, these are great reminders, and you're absolutely awesome. So thank you so much for all this information. I so appreciate you coming on the show. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks, Bill.
And I'll talk to you next time.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. It's 25 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I'll be back in just a minute.